from the Holy Word of God, if you can see it. If not, open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We'll read the first three verses. Today we're going to preach on healthy teeth, the Bible way, supernatural foreknowledge. My goal is for you to bow before our Lord Jesus Christ and His authority in the written Word and see what an amazing Bible we have today. Our text is Ecclesiastes 12. We're going to do the first three verses, the last part of the verse. Let us begin. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few. Let us be seated. Dear Lord, we do give you thanks. We do pray we'll understand thy word. We do pray that your word will be exalted today through the preaching by thy Holy Spirit. Thank you for this preserved Bible that gives us all we need, everything that pertains to godliness in these last days. In Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. You know throughout these verses in chapter 12, we're dealing with the natural progression of old age, right? Ending in death. And it's our duty and wisdom to fear God and obey Him early while you're young. Whatever young is, 40, 50, 60, 70, whatever it is, you need to obey God because tomorrow we will be older. Part of your obedience to God is to receive salvation by grace through faith, and you ought to do that while you're young. You ought to do it when your heart's open and tender. You ought to receive the free gift of salvation and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Know that you're a sinner and know that Jesus Christ has shed His precious blood for us that we might receive the forgiveness of sins. But we also have a promise in Psalms 103 that our youth can be renewed. Our youth can be preserved to a large degree by obeying the Lord's wisdom pertaining to spirit, soul, and body. And since your body does not belong to you, and since the Bible teaches thou shalt not kill, we ought to strive to remember the wonderful benefit that we have in Psalms 103 that says our youth can be renewed. So we shouldn't neglect that benefit. To speak of the body, whether in moral health or physical health, goes against the grain of Gnosticism. Gnostics want you to just say, you know what, don't worry about your body. Just concentrate on the spirit. So any sins of the body, don't mention. Any neglecting of your health and defiling of your temple, don't mention. But I want to remind you today that our Lord Jesus Christ, when He came to this earth, He just concentrated on the spirit, right? Is that true? No, He did not. He fed the body. He healed the body. He didn't have the Gnostic idea. Why would you do that? It's all going to rot. It's all going to decay. Why should you care about that? No, He preached the gospel to the poor. You better believe it. But He also fed the poor. He also healed the body. And when we see and experience the truth of God in regard to the body, we and others around us can be strengthened in faith in regard to the spirit and in regard to spiritual things. If you show somebody from the Bible how they can be healthy in their body, what a blessing. Maybe they'll believe you in regard to their spirit. Because if you don't believe God in things that you can see, how will you trust God in things you don't see? You ever thought about that? Solomon first deals with bones. They are foundational. We've seen from the Bible that it places the foundation of your health in your bones and in your belly. I just heard a doctor say the other day that it's only in the past 5 years that they've understood how important the bones and the belly are. You know, how important gut health is to your health in general. Doctors used to mock it just 5 years ago. But Solomon, Dr. Solomon knew because he was inspired by God. And he was given wisdom to write these things down so you would have this understanding today. Now, as Solomon continues to deal with the bones, the keepers of the house, and the strong men shall bow themselves, talking about your bones, your back, etc., he says the grinders cease because they are few. So in this context, he begins to deal with our teeth. They are few because as you get older, it gets harder to fight that battle against infection and decay. And of course, as all things wind down and all things wax old, there comes a time when your teeth will fall out. All of them, or at least many of them. So, it is our goal to minimize the trembling, the bowing, the stooping, unless you're bowing to God. But it's our goal that you would be able to walk and have everything, have that vitality to be like Caleb, as strong as 40 when he was in his 80s. So the goal is to minimize the weakness, this progression, to put it off, to be renewed in our health, not so you can serve yourself, but so you can have more that you can do for the Lord. And remember, when the thief was nailed to the cross, he was able to be not only saved, but the Lord said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." I believe that thief not only was saved in eternity, but he's going to be in the kingdom. Because he did what he could. He couldn't be baptized. He couldn't go soul winning. But he had one fella right there next to him, and he could rebuke him. And he did that and glorified God and rebuked that thief as he's nailed to a cross. And that's all God ever asked. You do what you can. You do what you can. But we ought not tear up our bodies, and we ought not minimize what we're able to do, because many wise preachers have said you will be judged not on what you did, but on what you could have done. In the Song of Solomon, we're going to see that healthy teeth were prized and praised in the wife. The Bible does speak of broken teeth from fighting or from an accident. But it's largely silent about the decay of teeth, except in extreme old age. But that shouldn't be surprising, since as you read the histories of many cultures and those that have done studies on various cultures, you find that they knew almost nothing of tooth decay that we have in the world today. Almost all of these cultures praised and prized the whiteness and cleanliness of teeth. Today, half the population or more has gum disease all over the earth. The natural defense against that is your saliva, believe it or not. Why is that? Because it neutralizes the pH and it remineralizes, so to speak, your teeth. Okay, now think about this. If you don't clean your teeth in the morning, for example, any sugars that are in the food that are now left upon your mouth, that spawned more bacteria, they've been left there. So now when you eat, they're going to react with what you put in your mouth, leading to an acidic environment where they continue to grow. So cleaning the teeth is just not about removing food. It's primarily about reducing the bad bacteria levels. You got to think about that. You say, "Well, I don't have any food left in my mouth." But what do you still have upon your teeth? And that creates a whole new outlook upon cleaning your teeth. Let me give you a verse on this. Amos chapter 4 says, I also have given you cleanliness or cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want, that means lack of bread, in all your places. Yet you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. What God is saying is, I have disciplined you, but you're still not returning unto me. And when he speaks of discipline, he describes it as the cleanness of teeth. The cleanness of teeth. God has disciplined them by cleanliness of teeth. Now you say, I don't understand that. Isn't cleanness of teeth a good thing? Some of you look like you stayed up all night. Cleanness of teeth is a good thing, but what God is saying here is, you don't have anything to eat. So because you don't have anything to eat, your teeth are clean. So one way to have clean teeth is to never eat. But that's not a good thing, is it? So we want to eat. So since we have to eat, but yet we see now, according to the Bible, that eating causes our teeth to be dirty. And in the Bible, cleanness is a good thing. Cleanliness, unclean, is not a good thing. So what are you going to do? Obviously, after you eat, you need to clean your teeth. You need to clean your teeth. In ancient India, for example, they would spend an hour each morning cleaning their teeth with the twigs of a fig tree as they did their pagan devotions. They prized cleaning teeth. In just about every culture, except our modern one. So today we're going to examine some amazing truths concerning the health of your teeth in the Scriptures. And then next week, we're going to take a look, God willing, at some prophetic spiritual applications of these verses about the grinders ceasing. What do the grinders ceasing picture for us at the end of this age? I'm not looking at teeth next week, but what teeth represent. What can we learn from the fact that the grinders are few? And I've written that already. I look forward to sharing that with you as we look at this from a prophetic, spiritual standpoint next week. But to lay a foundation for that, I'd like to do it all in the same week. We just don't have the time. So to lay a foundation for that, today we're going to look at some physical things. And I hope you're going to see how the physical things glorify God, because it shows the foreknowledge and wisdom of our Bible, and there's no other book like this book. There is no other book like this book. It is thousands of years ahead of modern science, and I'm using the word science in a true sense in this regard. So I want to begin. We're going to let Dr. Solomon, the wisest dentist that there has ever been, and he's going to deal with us a bit today. So everybody open your mouth and say, ah, you're supposed to do that. Everybody, or say, ah, man. You can say, ah, man, right? Ah, man. It's supposed to be, ah, woman today, brother. Ah, woman. They tell us, ah, woman. You ever heard that? Ah, woman? What a world we're living in today, huh? Let's see what Solomon says about teeth. Proverbs 10:26, as vinegar to the teeth, so is the sluggard to them that send him. Now, vinegar is important to your health, is it not? But I want you to notice, the Bible saying vinegar is not good to your teeth. Just as you don't want a sluggard when you send somebody on an errand, and God has sent us on an errand, hasn't he? So you don't want vinegar on your teeth. So what did they do so the vinegar would not hurt their teeth? In the book of Ruth, it says, and Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. So they used vinegar with their meals. What did that do? Well, for one thing, you know that vinegar, as we've seen, is good for your blood sugar levels, when eating healthy carbs. So in the Bible, when they ate their healthy carbs, like honey or bread, they mixed it with protein usually. So you always had honey and fish, bread and fish for the most part, to balance out that glycemic response that comes from the carb. Well, another thing that lowers that insulin and that glycemic response is vinegar in an amazing way. So you eat carbs without vinegar and you're going to see a larger spike in your blood sugar than you would if you had not, in many cases. But what is it about the bread and the meal that neutralizes that acidic vinegar in regard to your teeth? So you're not just sitting there drinking vinegar alone upon your teeth. We know in the meal situation, the acid is mixed with the bread and usually olive oil. But just eating a meal in itself produces salivation. And saliva is going to neutralize the acid when you eat something sour. And not only that, when you eat something sour, it triggers to your brain that this is an emergency. You got to send more saliva to try to neutralize this even more. So you can see the effects of different foods and concentrations of citric acid on the flow rate of whole saliva in man. So they have found that the body is doing what it can to try to neutralize that acidic response. Why? To save the teeth. That's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons. So we saw that acid and teeth don't get along very well, any more than smoke and eyeballs get along. So the question is this: what does that mean for those that drink soft drinks all day, between their meals even? Why, I believe soft drink is a good name for it, because it's softening your teeth. It is demineralizing your teeth. And so as you sit there and put that acid all over your teeth, but then you're giving them a double whammy. Wow, you are blessing the bad bacteria of your mouth, and your teeth are saying, no, 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 don't do this. NeilWallaceDental.com says, after the phosphoric acid in soda has started the process of softening your teeth are then bathed with sugar, the exact food your oral bacteria needs to create cavities. So the bacteria that are in your mouth, that are largely being put at bay by the good bacteria, you feed them the sugar after weakening your teeth, softening your teeth, and then you have a terrible situation, folks. You have a terrible situation. Let me continue on this acid thing here. Jeremiah 31, in those days shall they say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. It's saying the children, what they had was a proverb that the children are being cursed, not for anything they did, but because of our fathers. Y'all listen to me now. Children, I want you to wake up and listen. They were saying that the children are being cursed because of the sins of the father. But looking at this just in the literal physical aspect, it's saying that a sour grape will set your teeth on edge, which is a picture in context of being greatly cursed. So it's showing you that this sourness brings a curse to your teeth, just like we saw vinegar to the teeth. What is it about acid that curses your teeth? What is it about phosphoric acid, citric acid, soft drinks? What is it about these things that curse your teeth? Well, we've seen, unless this acid is neutralized with meals and bread and salivation, it's going to dissolve your teeth. How does it dissolve your teeth and why? First off, Job tells us in Job 19, I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. What an amazing Bible we have today. The Bible says you have skin on your teeth. Who would have ever known such a thing? Who would have ever known such a thing? Scientific American, 1953. Thousands of years later, the skin of your teeth, it's enamel, like hair and nails. Once it was thought to be as inert as a rock, but now it's known to exchange its substance with the body fluids. Wow. You have skin over your teeth. And you know your mouth is filled with bacteria, some good, some bad. But when you eat cane sugar or high fructose corn syrup, you feed the bad bacteria and they begin to multiply. And then when they multiply, they begin to secrete acid and they form a biofilm, a colony. They join together. They say, we're going to join together. Remember what they did at the Tower of Babel? They said, let's all join together. One big one go. We'll make a big colony here. Lest we be scattered. Well, they don't want to be scattered. So what the colony does is it gets together and it has this biofilm called plaque. That's why they're saying glass is sometimes hard to clean, because it has these biofilms that can attach itself to it. See, you think, wow, that's clean, but there's a biofilm there. So there's this film over your teeth as you eat sugar and it begins to multiply. And then as they begin to metabolize, they begin to take that waste and secrete it all over your teeth and gums, and it begins to get infected. Remember years ago, I showed the studies where honey and palm sugar have some type of protection in them so they don't rot your teeth. So researchers says, we can do that. So they made a synthetic honey. They said, we're going to measure the right amount of glucose, the right amount of fructose, and the right amount of sucrose. And we're going to measure this right, and now we've made our own honey. But then they found it rotted the teeth. It rotted the teeth. And they said, what is it about honey? We've duplicated everything. Oh, no, you didn't. They said, there must be some essence from the flowers and plants in natural honey that brings some type of protection. In cane sugar, you don't have these things. So as your food and your soft drinks and everything is filled with this cane sugar, you're cursing your mouth. So as the bugs begin to eat the cane sugar and they begin to increase, and there's nothing there to neutralize them, they begin to use the bathroom all over your mouth. And as they use the bathroom all over your mouth, that acid begins to eat your mouth. It begins to eat the skin of your teeth. It begins to rot your gums and your teeth. So as the Bible shows, acid and teeth are at odds. Early doctors in the 17th century saw clearly when they began to put cane sugar all over the place, and it began to be a little more popular, they began to see clearly that it blackens the teeth. The doctors say it blackeneth the teeth. Don't touch it. Don't mess with that. It's not like honey. It's not like other sweet things. Later, they found out more of this process. When you get to about 1920, the American dentist says, when we consider that dental caries, those are cavities, can only be produced from starch and sugar, and that the starch must be reduced to dextrose before it can be converted into lactic acid, it is quite truthful to make the statement that all dental decay is produced by sugar. You say, wait a minute, honey's a sugar. That's exactly right. But honey has something else in it that these other things do not have in it. It has something else in it because God, who made honey and says honey is good, put something in it to protect it so you wouldn't rot your mouth out. See, but you say, I don't have to obey that. I'm going to go out here and eat my cane sugar, and I'm not going to read ingredients, and I'm going to just, wherever there's cane sugar, I don't care if it's in my cakes and this and that and my bologna and wherever it's at, I'm just going to eat cane sugar. There's a big price to pay for that, not only in diabetes, but in your bone health and in your dental health. I call it using the bathroom because it really is a waste product from the bacteria that's now thriving. It's really a process of fermentation. But really, these acids, as they're left in contact with your teeth, they begin to dissolve the mineral content of your teeth. Do you know what's in your mouth? It's home to about 700 species of microbes. Troubles begin when the microbes form a sticky, colorless film called plaque on your teeth. That's that biofilm. That's that colony getting stronger. Sugary foods and drinks feed some microbes, and help them increase in number and spread out. Some of these sugar-loving microbes can turn sugar into matrix and acid. The acid destroys the surface of your teeth. The more sugar in your diet, the more fuel is available for these microbes to build up plaque and damage your teeth. Bacteria by itself can cause tooth decay. That means they use the bathroom and it leaves the sugar and they begin to eat your teeth. But when fungus is there also, it boosts the entire machinery. Fungus can get energy from sugar that bacteria release while making acid. The fungus then releases substances that feed the bacteria's growth. This helps the bacteria form an even tougher matrix and make more acid. So basically, the fungus begins to go to the bacteria and give them a high five and say, "We're in this together. I got your back, you got my back. And the fools done put sugar in here, and we've got this thing covered. We're going to make a whole fort. We're going to colonize this mouth, and we're going to rot out everything in our sight." The more sugar you eat, the more lactic acid is produced in your mouth. Unless the sugar is in a form that God ordained. Here is lactic acid excretion. And that is the bad one right there. That is one of the bad monsters that dwell in your mouth. Streptococcus mutans. Some type of mutant thing. You don't want that little fella. And what he does is he uses the bathroom and excretes lactic acid when you feed him sugar. So he's sitting there saying, "Okay, there's not much I can do, I'm weak," until you're dumb enough to put sugar in your mouth that has nothing in it that will neutralize him. And so then he uses the bathroom and puts lactic acid all over your mouth. And that's just a bad situation, folks. It's a bad situation. But you know, that brings to my mind a big question. What about yogurt? You see the word lactic acid. What about raw milk and cheese? Don't these have bugs? Don't they have lactic acid? So does that mean that raw dairy and yogurt, and is that going to rot your teeth? And that's a big question. That's a big question. And here's what they found out. They found out that yogurt and raw dairy somehow another, especially cheese, somehow another inhibits that process of lactic acid being placed all over your teeth by the bacteria. Here's Eureka Alert 2013. In the May-June 2013 issue of General Dentistry, the peer-reviewed clinical journal of the Academy of General Dentistry found that consuming cheddar cheese and other dairy products may help protect teeth against cavities. The authors looked at the dental plaque, the pH, in the subject's mouth. The dental plaque pH, how acidic that is, your mouth is, after they consumed cheese, milk, or sugar-free yogurt. A pH level lower than 5.5 puts a person at risk for tooth erosion. Which is a process that wears away the enamel or the protective outside layer of the teeth. We saw the skin of your teeth. The higher the pH level is above 5.5, the lower the chance of developing cavities, explains the lead author. The groups who consumed milk and sugar-free yogurt experienced no changes in their pH levels in their mouth. But subjects who ate cheese however, showed a rapid increase in pH levels at each time interval, suggesting that cheese has anti-cavity properties. Now, they're trying to figure out why. They believe that one reason is that there's compounds in cheese that may adhere to your tooth enamel and help further protect your teeth from acid. And I want to get back to this for a minute, But before continuing, our goal is to go soul winning and deal with people one-on-one and lead them to Christ. We don't want to in any way interrupt that process of somebody listening and receiving the Lord and being discipled. We don't want any distraction. That's why Paul says he's all things to all people. Whatever he could do to minimize the distraction so he can deal with what he needed to deal with is very important. If you eat dairy, raw dairy often has enzymes that help break down milk sugar, which is lactose. But even then, some have problems. They eat cheese, they eat milk, and they're not aware that everywhere you go, you have hydrogen in your body. And that hydrogen gas is coming out. And it's not just bad breath like you just ate something with garlic. It's bad breath that the whole car will smell like. It's a gas that's coming out of you because you are a fermentation machine, because that stuff's not being digested down there. And so bad things are happening. So it's called lactose intolerant. And I believe it's important for us because not only bad breath that may hinder your witnessing, but it's going to lead to inflammation in your life. It's going to lead to water retention. It's going to lead to all kinds of bad things. If you're not digesting something, that's going to lead to bad health there in your gut where you don't want bad health. So more and more people have found out that they are lactose intolerant. And if you've got a bad breath that you can't brush away, then look at the idea that you need to take lactase pills, and they sell them, to digest, or you need a lot more fermented foods to digest that milk sugar. But in speaking of dead milk, you saw that for some reason the cheese raised or fixed the pH, but for some reason the milk they used did not. In speaking of dead milk, there were some Korean researchers and some Japanese researchers. And they were wondering, why is it that the milk we are drinking is leading to gum disease among Koreans and among Japanese? They said it has calcium. They're getting plenty of calcium. Why are they getting tooth decay and gum disease? So they did a study and they found out now when they gave them yogurt, they got a different response. The yogurt was inhibiting the bacteria that leads to gum disease. So notice what they say here. Yogurt has similar nutrients to milk, but it's characterized by a lot of lactic acid bacteria as a fermented food. Hence, the suggested reason is that lactic acid foods contain many live probiotics that have good effects on gum disease or infection. So, the more fermented the food, as in yogurt, raw dairy, the more it inhibits tooth decay. The more dead it is, the more it creates the lactic acid inside your mouth where you don't want it. So the question becomes, why do these probiotics help the mouth, but the waste lactic acid from the bacteria that's eating sugar in your mouth destroys your enamel? I contacted a Middle East researcher, the author of one paper on the subject. He told me that lactic acid is a byproduct, we know, of sucrose fermentation, that is, of eaten sugar. So now you have lactic acid all over your mouth. And that cavity-causing bacteria result in a continuous acid production after ingesting the sugar. But the reason that lactic acid with probiotics don't cause cavities is that the probiotics have microbial effects, inhibiting the cavity-causing bacteria. And it's ingested only a short period of time with the saliva. It's not like it allowed the bacteria to eat it and then continue to secrete it all over your teeth. So therefore, the answer is, just like honey, God has ordained fermented products to work. But he didn't ordain cane sugar ingestion anywhere in our Bible. So now we're learning that certain antimicrobials will fight gum disease and will fight your cavities. We've already seen raw probiotic dairy fights it. Cheese, raw milk, yogurt. But this one fellow from the Middle East that was kind enough to reply, who has a research paper, has also shown that grape seed extract. They ate a lot of grapes in the Middle East. They ate a lot of grapes in the Bible. They found out that something in the grape leaves and in the grape seeds hinders cavities. They found if you just make a mouthwash rinse from grape seeds, it's a natural antioxidant with no side effect. In fact, grape seed extract has antioxidant activity greater than vitamin C, 50 times greater. So imagine what you are putting in your mouth when you make a grape seed extract mouthwash. Grape seed extract positively affects the demineralization and or remineralization processes of artificial root caries lesions. Grape seed extract contains 98% PA. PA from fruits and vegetables has been found to prevent acid production. There's that bad guy, Streptococcus mutans. Grape seed extract is a rich source of PA, which has been reported to strengthen collagen-based tissues. PA also from cranberries inhibited acid production by this evil beast, this mutant. Grape seed extract positively affects the demineralization and or remineralization processes in root caries lesions. Root caries is more, these are cavities, prevalent among elderly individuals. So your body's getting weaker, so it's harder to fight. The process of root caries involves dissolution of the dentin material by the acid produced from the oral bacterial biofilm. What are they saying here? They're saying that certain things, like these antioxidants that are found in grape seed and grape leaf, and to some degree in the grape itself, they are able to fight and hinder this Streptococcus mutans. Cranberries do the same. You ever see somewhere in a store and it says this is a super fruit that came from the other side of the world? It came from far away, way off in some jungle in the woods somewhere. Well, you have one of those. We are the place that's far, far, far away. We are the place that's far away on the other side of the world. And we have something growing called cranberries. And they are sold all over the world as a super fruit from really, really far away. But we have it right here in America. Cranberries. Cranberry polyphenols. Natural weapons against dental caries. Cranberry components are potential anti-caries, anti-cavity agents, since they inhibit acid production and attachment. They keep the acid from attaching and biofilm formation by Streptococcus mutans. There he is. Cranberries fight bacteria, the British Dental Journal, 2005. They found that cranberries, which contain this PA that the grape seed extract contains, prevent bacteria from sticking together. Cranberry juice reduced plaque by 95%. 95%. It reduces the production of sugars in your mouth. It makes it difficult for the acids to generate therefore less damage to your enamel. They made a mouthwash out of cranberries, just like they did grapeseed extract, and it inhibited the bacteria that lead to cavities and gum disease. Along this line, something I want you to remember, they found that bacteria play possum. I've seen possum when my dogs were after it in Texas. I said, oh man, they killed that poor thing. It was a hideous looking thing. But it was dead. I mean, it just, his tongue was sticking out and his eyes were rolled back. And I'm like, man, they killed that thing. A couple hours later, I'm sitting there in my office and I look out the window and it gets up and walks away. It was playing possum. They found out that bacteria, infections all throughout your body and some of the worst diseases, that they sent an antibiotic down there and it says, oh, I don't see that. I don't see it. And they're giving them, and this is not the same as the bacteria and certain things that these superbugs, this antibiotic resistant bacteria. It's not the same as that. That's another problem. This is a problem that bacteria itself, that it would kill, go to sleep. And they say, I don't see it. So they said, well, this is crazy. So to speak, they got a fishing rod and they put a hook on it. And they put some cane sugar on that thing. They say, open your mouth. And they dropped that thing down in there and they did the little x-ray and they looked. All of the dormant bacteria that was playing possum woke up and like piranhas went after that sugar. So sugar wakes up all the sleeping bacteria that they can't kill. So they said, this is amazing. I think what we'll do is when we give antibiotics, we're going to put some sugar on it so they'll come eat the antibiotic. And so there's all this research going on. Well, see, you ever heard of a grape cure? A grape cure is something comes out and they found out if you just fast and drink grape juice, it heals almost anything. And they found that out over century after century after century. And what is God doing? Basically, it's like a Trojan horse. They come out and they want to eat the glucose in the grape, but the grape has something in it that kills it. So what a blessing to understand why these antimicrobials work. So you've seen grape seed extract. You've seen cranberries. What about cinnamon? There's polyphenols in cinnamon. And these things are in the Bible. Not so much cranberries, but the principle is there. It has the same stuff in it that's in the grape seed extract. Just make sure you use organic cranberries. I love cranberries for a lot of reasons. They help your thyroid. It's a very, very amazing fruit. But here's cinnamon. Here's just a few studies. Journal of Clinical Diagnostic Research. They found out that cinnamon bark was the most powerful of all in fighting cavities and gum disease. Sweet basil and mints also do, which would be great for women. Here is another research paper, the effects, in vitro effects of cinnamon water extract on nicotine-induced Streptococcus mutans biofilm. They found out that those that smoke or use nicotine, that this little beast loves it. And wherever there's nicotine, he's like, oh, don't throw me in the briar patch. This is wonderful. And he just multiplies and multiplies wherever they're smoking. So you want to rot your teeth out, just get addicted to nicotine. You know what I mean? It's definitely going to contribute, I believe. But what they did, they said, okay, so we've stirred it up. We've stirred up this biofilm and this colony by the nicotine. Let's give it some cinnamon water and see what it does. And of course, it just destroyed it in an amazing way. Cinnamon is very special in the Bible. Presence of nicotine increased this terrible mutant biofilm formation, but cinnamon blasted them. The effects of cinnamon in dentistry, a review, it also shows the amazing ability. And this is all very neat, and this all matches the Bible, and it all relates to the Word of God. But let's go back to Dr. Solomon and see if he has anything directly that he can show us about teeth. Here we have Song of Solomon chapter 6, verse 6. Thy teeth are as a flock of sheep which go up from the washing, whereof every one beareth twins, and there is not one barren among them. I've showed you, you probably don't remember, because we spent so many years on the Song of Solomon, you probably forgot what we even taught. But on the Song of Solomon, I showed you that there is spiritual truth. There's prophetic truth. And there is medical truth. It says that Solomon studied plants and studied all of the nature of his time. And you say, well, the Bible's not a biology book. It has nothing to do with doctoring and that type of thing. Well, you're wrong about that. You're wrong about that. Solomon put it in poetic form. So as you go back and read the Song of Solomon, and he says something like this, thy teeth are as a flock of sheep which go up from the washing. You're to stop for a second. That's a very beautiful picture of how pretty her teeth was. It's also a spiritual and prophetic picture to give us a lot of information that we need. But stop for a second. Right here on the surface, it's telling you that there is an amazing link between sheep and something about sheep being washed in their wool. There's something amazing that links that to the health of your teeth. What in the world would be in a flock of sheep that would relate to our health in regard to our teeth? The first thing you need to check is simply this. You see butter of kine in the Bible, which means they took all that milk and they made, kine means cows, and they made butter out of it. I'm not telling you not to drink milk from a cow. Praise God for milk from a cow. But I'm telling you that in most cases of the Bible, they drank milk from the goat and milk from the sheep. God's listing all the wonderful things He's going to give them. He says, I'm going to give you cow butter, and I'm going to give you milk from the sheep. Milk from the sheep. Why would Solomon not say a flock of goats? Goats has calcium, goat milk. But there's something about sheep milk. Do you know that it takes only 2 cups of sheep milk to satisfy a whole day's calcium needs? Who's drinking 2 glasses of sheep milk every day? See, we are malnourished in America. Comprehensive reviews in food science and food safety says sheep milk contains almost twice as much protein as goat and cow milk. The high nutritional value of sheep milk is also related to the proline content, which affects the production of hemoglobin. So, let's go back now again. You've got sheep, which give you milk, which contains so many nutrients that it's amazing. I was going to give you a chart just so you could compare cow's milk, goat milk, and sheep milk. It's unbelievable. In some ways, the vitamins are almost double just in sheep milk. So the Middle East, in the Bible, they're walking around drinking sheep milk every day, and they're getting so much nourishment. Oh, they drank goat milk. They had other form, but I'm telling you what an amazing thing that was their principal source of milk. If they could afford it. But look now again. Not only thy teeth are as a flock of sheep which go up from the washing. What is it about wool and having wool washed? What does that have to do? Is there anything whatsoever? I just think it's interesting. Used to have a lamb, a couple of lambs. And when you touch the lamb and touch sheep, it's very strange because they have this residue, this oil that they call wool wax. They call it wool grease. It's secreted from the glands of these wool-bearing animals. It's called lanolin, which is just Latin, I believe, for lamb oil, sheep oil. So, Solomon knew when those sheep come up from the washing, you're getting wool, and that wool is full of lanolin. So what the ancients would often do is take some of that wool and boil it, and lanolin floats up to the top, and then they use that lanolin for all kinds of things. In fact, the Egyptians would take blocks of lanolin and put it on their head and let the sun melt it and let it just go all over their face, you know. It said it makes their skin soft. What does the lanolin do on the sheep? It protects it from water damage. It holds in the moisture, and it also keeps out moisture. It's an amazing thing that holds in moisture, but also protects from the environment. Wow. Ovid, a historian among the Romans, said that the Roman ladies used it for their complexion. Ancient Egyptian medical documents, which we don't follow because there's all kinds of nonsense and stupidity in it. The beautiful thing about our Bible is it has truth with no mixture of error. We're not saying that the old Egyptian ancient documents or any other nation, we're not saying that they don't have truth. We're saying that it's mixed with error. Our Bible has truth and only truth. But you will read through some of the ancient Egyptian medical documents, and they will say, if you have dental problems, use a little bit of dough, a little bit of honey, and make an oil plaster. And then somewhere else they would say, use some fennel seeds and some dough and some honey. And then they say, if you want to strengthen your teeth, use some powder of the fruit of the palm and the powder of flintstones. And if you have swelling in your mouth, use some cumin and some frankincense and some onion paste. But then something else. This is lanolin. Lanolin, lanolin, lanolin. The cream that is used for so much. Because it moisturizes and it has a power that we'll see here in a second that can absorb and go down deep into your pores. Amazing thing. But there's a fellow in 1607, a lot of fanciful things. But Topsail's The History of Four-Footed Beasts says, unwashed wool being smeared over with honey and rubbed upon the teeth. This was popular in the 1600s, and it's been popular down throughout the centuries, where they would walk over, take that wool, take that lanolin, and smear it upon their teeth and bring healing. Why? Why would that bring healing? To wash one's face with sheep's milk and goat's milk is very good to make it fair and smooth. We know that's good for your teeth. Unwashed wool being smeared over with honey and rubbed on the teeth doth make them look white presently after. He doesn't mean just clean them. There's some type of healing that honey and lanolin does to your teeth. Why? Why is that? Well, Pliny, the ancient historian, says to rub the teeth and gums with wool and honey is said to make the breath more pleasant. Dental Items of Interest in 1948 says when Hippocrates advised wiping the teeth with unwashed wool dipped in honey, he was following an ancient belief that probably was introduced before the days of Asclepius. Oh, I'm sorry, this goes back way before Asclepius. Solomon says, oh, white teeth. And he mentions the wool of sheep, the washed sheep. What is it about sheep? Not only do you get calcium and so many nutrients, but wow. In the 1980s, they did a study of lanolin and found it could reduce roughness in your skin by up to 40% in just 1 hour. It has antifungal and antibacterial properties. Oh, so now we see some things happening. There was a German named Otto Braun, and he invented a new process in the 19th century for spinning the wool. And that's when they started using the word lanolin. Pharmacists of the time in the late 19th century began using purified lanolin for all of their healing salves. For the next 50 or 60 years, it was widely known for its scientifically proven emollient properties, moisturizing. So they found out that if you mix lanolin with whatever you want to put in it, such as cinnamon or whatever else, somehow or another, it absorbs in an amazing way. Then in the 1960s, people began to develop allergies to it and breakouts. And many found out that the pesticides that were in the sheep. See, right now, malathion is one of the things they put all over that wool to keep the bug. So when you get, if you ever buy lanolin to moisturize or whatever you're going to do with it, get organic from sheep that haven't had pesticides sprayed all over it, see. But Solomon's sheep didn't have any pesticides sprayed all over them. Now, you know that calcium can only reach its potential in your body if you have enough vitamin D. You know vitamin D helps you absorb the calcium. Evidence highlights the association of low levels of vitamin D and the high prevalence of caries in both children and adults. They found out, now wait a second, there is a big link between low vitamin D levels, which would make sense because if you got low vitamin D, you're not absorbing the calcium and you're probably barely getting any calcium anyway in the right way, in the right form. So you know how important vitamin D is, but guess what? They didn't even discover vitamin D until the 1920s. So I have recommended that you take cod liver oil, and I still do. Try to get the best wild cod liver oil that you could find, pesticide-free, mercury-free, that type of thing. You don't want a toxic level of vitamin D in your body, but you do want to take vitamin D and make sure you're getting enough vitamin D in your body. Cod liver oil in particular contains a high amount of vitamin D when you compare that to things like beef liver. The majority of vitamin D, though, right now, that has saved the world, you know where they get it from? They get it from the oil of the sheep's wool. Now, isn't this amazing? When that lanolin began to be excreted in the sheep, and the sun hit it, there was a chemical in the lanolin that turned the lanolin into vitamin D. Other animals do this. Other animals will come up and groom one another. They're ingesting vitamin D. So they don't go down and get cod. Well, a lot of them do, but some animals don't get any cod liver oil or anything. What are they doing? They said, oh no, we get it from the sun, but we also get it from each other. See, lanolin contains a chemical called 7-DHC for short. How about that? So here's what they found out. When the sun hits that 7-DHC, it becomes vitamin D. And for centuries, I haven't 100% verified it, but here's what they're saying. They're saying when that fellow went out and got that lamb and picked it up and put it over his neck, that those shepherds were getting vitamin D, not only from the fish they were eating and not only from the sunshine, but they were getting vitamin D from touching those sheep. Boy, that'll tell you, huh? There's some blessing in going after the lost lambs, amen? God's saying, I'll give you a blessing that you haven't even thought of yet. I don't know. Maybe that's why David had some manliness that other people didn't have. No, I know he had faith in God. But as a shepherd boy out there with the sheep, and a faithful shepherd boy who didn't fall asleep, but was always watching over those sheep, I believe he was touching sheep constantly. So I don't know. I'm just surmising right here. I'm not telling you to go out and start licking sheep wool. But I'm telling you, there's some amazing things going on here. Amen? There's some amazing things. So what these scientists said was, okay, let's take this lanolin, let's purify it, and let's stick it under some type of UVB light. Boom. Vitamin D was created. And it is the cheapest form. I can't find anything wrong with it. So normally I would say, get your vitamin D from sunshine and from cod liver oil and things like that. Egg yolks from good. However, the fact that you've got Solomon sitting there telling you, hey, you want healthy teeth? Hint, hint. Flock of sheep washed from the wool? Do you get it yet? No? But now we get it. Centuries and thousand years later, whoa, there's vitamin D right there. But what's vitamin D? They didn't know till 1920, and they didn't find out till just a few years ago how important vitamin D was for your brain and for your whole body and for your bones and for your teeth. Dr. Michael Hollick is the one that discovered 7-DHC, or he discovered how to measure in the body, the vitamin D levels. So he's a very famous vitamin D researcher. And he says, before the year 2000, very few doctors ever thought that anybody was vitamin D deficient. And then we began to realize around the year 2000 that studies showed 70% vitamin D deficient or insufficient in children ages 6 to 11 years of age. What? Well, it makes sense. How many of them are getting cod liver oil anymore? How many of them are getting any dairy that's eaten any grass and has any vitamin D whatsoever? Or how many of them are getting sunlight? We estimate that probably about 50% of the population is at risk for vitamin D deficiency and insufficiency. The Endocrine Society Clinical Practice Guideline Committee recommends that, yes, neonates, those are little ones, 400 to 1,000 units a day. Children 1 year of age, above 600 to 1,000 units a day. And adults should be on 1,500 to 2,000 units a day. That's what he's saying. He's saying that he treats his patients on average with 3,000 units of vitamin D a day. You don't want to overdo it, but there's a big level here until it's overdone, you know. I mean, it is possible to get calcified in your heart and that type of thing. You'll see livestock that are eating certain grasses that do have a form of some type of, or at least it's a substance like the vitamin E, and they'll start getting some physical problems if that's all they eat over and over and over. So, let's see, if you're obese, you need 2 to 3 times more vitamin D than just those levels, because you're not processing it to the same degree, they say. For normal weight, usually 3,000 to 4,000 units a day is adequate. If you live above Atlanta, Georgia, you basically cannot make any vitamin D in your skin from about November through March. So somebody says, I went outside. I'm going to show you the problem that everybody's having. First of all, you're not getting the right degree of sunlight many times. And then I'll show you, as he's going to comment, so I'll just let him do it. He says they've recently developed an app, dminder.info. I downloaded it on my phone, that you could actually use on your iPhones and others. It picks up exactly how much UV radiation is coming into your locale. We could tell you how many units of vitamin D you're making when you make vitamin D in your skin. You could be in India, you could be in China, you could be even in Brazil. So it's a very handy thing to let you know how much you can get from the sun to whatever degree. Now, A study done from the Framington Heart Study showed that if you are vitamin D deficient, you have a 50% higher risk of having a heart attack. 50%. If you have a heart attack and you're vitamin D deficient, there's a 100% risk of dying of that heart attack. God help us. I'm not laughing at that. I'm just laughing at how amazing it is that we need vitamin D. Now, here's something you got to realize. Because you're driving around in your car, or you're opening your curtain, and that's good for your eyes and things such as that. But they said that almost all glass filters out the very UVB, which produces. They didn't have glass there in the days of Solomon. They weren't walking around in these glass rooms everywhere they went, you know, in these cars and things, you know. So it filters out the very UVB rays that you need to make vitamin D. Oh, but it doesn't filter out the UVA, which gives you cancer risks. Isn't that horrible? Oh, I'm sitting here in my office. Look at my beautiful office. Look at all of this sunshine. Yeah, okay, that's skin cancer, but you're not getting what you need to make vitamin D. Isn't that horrible? That is a horrible situation now that I think about it. No wonder so many people are dying and sick and weaker than they would be. If you put a sunscreen on with a sun protection factor of just 30, it reduces your ability to make vitamin D in your skin by 95 to 98%. There you go. And no telling what endocrine disruption you just put in your stream, in your bloodstream. I've always recommended sun protection on your face. Often a broad-brimmed hat is by far even a better way of doing it rather than having to put a chemical on your face if you don't have to. But protect your face. They wore hats back in earlier days. You know, they're a lot smarter than we were in so many ways. Don't boast yourself that we're so much smarter than the ancients. You know what I mean? They're walking around with hats, and they wouldn't go out in the sun without hats on. They knew what they were doing in so many ways. You know, it doesn't take very much sunshine if the sun is in the right place and et cetera, and you have the right nutrition to get what you need. It doesn't take very much sun, you know. So that's one reason. This is scary. Farmed salmon essentially have no vitamin D. We showed that many years ago. That's great. Oh, I'm eating some fish once or twice a week, but is it wild? I mean, what's in that fish? Oh. You would have to, even in the Institute of Medicine's recommendations, drink 6 glasses of milk a day just to get 600 units of vitamin D. And he's saying that's nowhere near their recommendation. He does not believe is anywhere near what you need to be having. They're showing that vitamin D right now helps you fight viruses. So I start thinking about something. This is how my mind works. I said, no, wait a second. If that lanolin has in it automatically the 7-DHC, and all it takes is sunlight acting upon that 7-DHC that will, under the right conditions, turn that into vitamin D, what we call vitamin D, then can you rub vitamin D on your body topically and have it ingested and bring up your vitamin D levels? So as I began to study and pursue that, they found out why it works perfect. I wouldn't say perfect, but it works enough to where you can bring up your levels. Here is the International Journal of Biomed Science that says, biomedical topical delivery of vitamin D3, a randomized controlled pilot study. And you know what they said? Oleic acid, when you mix it with the vitamin D, it seems to go right where it needs to go into your bloodstream. I said, well, what's this oleic acid? It's olive oil. Olive oil. So you take olive oil, mix it with lanolin. I don't know. Go rub a sheep and rub some olive oil on you. Get anointed with olive oil and go hug a sheep and get out in the sun. Wow. Wow. Amen. Dr. Gostein, Gottstein. Back in the 1800s, he found out that lanolin is almost indestructible by microorganisms. Wow. And whatever substances mix with it will adhere to that surface closer and longer and causes agents to be absorbed more quickly. The Dental Review says it passes directly through the skin. It's useful as a base for all ointments, but few people know of it as yet. He's in 1887. He says, people hardly know what this is anymore. Nevertheless, it was known to the ancients. Well, you're right about that. Primarily Dr. Solomon. At the time, doctors around the world said, you know what? We almost will not have to take internal drugs anymore. Because whatever drug we want, we'll just put it with lanolin and rub it in your skin. Because of its powers of absorption. The Cincinnati Medical and Dental Journal of 1887 says there's nothing new under the sun. And then they go on to tell you about their modern discovery of all of the blessings of lanolin. So your vitamin D today comes from the sun. It comes from sheep wool. Lanolin. Or finally, it comes from a lichen or a lichen, a symbiotic organism, which is a combination of algae and fungi and cyanobacteria. That's called vitamin D2. At this point, I'm not too excited about messing with vitamin D2. But some people may need to. I couldn't think of a reason why, though. So I guess there's so much more, but just in summing up, you need good nutrition. Maybe we need to explore sheep milk and understand that the sheep is all throughout the Bible for a reason. We definitely need to make sure your vitamin D levels, and you can check it. You can do a blood test for that and check where your levels are. And I really can't think of anything more important that you can do in this day of viruses and pestilences and all the things that are going on. I mean, over the years, just back in the 20s, they would have every disease known to man, and they'd give it to rabbits and dogs and things, and they'd give them cod liver oil, and it was just amazing how they just thrived after that. And they didn't really understand why. And now we know there's something about that vitamin D that just strengthens everything and causes the absorption, and they still don't understand. It's still an ongoing research. But praise God, we have a Bible with Dr. Solomon, and even better, we have the Holy Spirit and Dr. Jesus, amen? And he has written that book to tell you how your youth can be renewed. So, stay away from sugar. I've said that for 20 years. I've said it for 20 years. God showed me that right when I got saved. The first year of my salvation. And I've stayed as well as I can ever since then away from that stuff. May God help you. May God help you take these things to heart and find great healing. And use that strength that you get to go serve God more. Dear Holy Father, we thank you for your wonderful Bible. And Father, I look forward to looking at these things from a spiritual sense and a prophetic sense. And seeing the great spiritual lessons that you have for us. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12. But right now, Father, I pray many will take hold. I pray they will be inspired and encouraged and motivated to grab a hold of life. And more abundant, not just life, but more abundant life. More abundant spiritual life. More abundant physical life. And Father, I pray many would get victory and healing and blessing and strength. Like never before, Father. And we thank you for this wonderful prophetic book. Now heal your people, Lord. Help them be wise and strong. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.